Well, friends, shall we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Mother of us all.
Amen.
Well, Advent's here and Christmas is coming. More particularly for we Christians, Jesus coming as ever to disrupt and to liberate. What a timely message this is at a moment when humanity seems paralyzed, faced by newly apocalyptic global threats, yet fixated on maintaining business as usual. The American Baptist theologian Barry Harvey gives a good picture of what this is like in a book on how to be the church in post-Christian times. And I quote, "The irony is deep, pervasive, and seemingly all-encompassing. In virtually every corner of the globe, human beings spin round and round, living out their lives as individuals, paradoxically compelled in their private lives to make choices from a range of options that are enumerated and managed by institutions they cannot see and people they never meet face to face. The groove of the city is decisive, making its inhabitants believe that they can do what they want and get away with it. A peculiar mix of permissiveness and supervision thus characterizes the comings and goings of this global cosmopolis, as people do exactly what it wants them to do, yet all the while saying to themselves that they are free." So says Barry Harvey. Now, in direct opposition to this comfortably settled, yet actually quite uneasy and dysfunctional state of affairs, Jesus comes to make all things new, which of course includes making all things different. This certainly doesn't mean, as Matthew's gospel supposes, that Jesus was returning any day, so that those very first Christians needed to be constantly on the lookout for something astonishing. And despite plagues, famines, and wars throughout subsequent history, which have set all sorts of apocalyptic hares running, that return hasn't happened yet, and let's be honest, we no longer anticipate it. Nowadays, in light of the nuclear threat, which is now returning, and the possibility of unknown catastrophic tipping points for our world system in light of worsening climate change, we realize that the apocalypse is now in our hands. And lessons can be drawn for humanity in general from today's gospel. One of which is that while we can't be sure that there's a while we can be sure that there's a threat, we can't be sure about the details or the timing. In light of all that, I want to look more closely at today's readings in the context of this Advent Eucharist. Because the Jesus who comes in word and imagination also comes in bread and wine, and as ever, his coming brings disruption and liberation. Disruption of the settled status quo in our world, offering liberation from all that threatens and poisons God's beloved human family. First, to today's gospel, with Matthew's Jesus promising disruption of our society, culture, economy, and security. A complete game changer is what's coming. The social life of eating and drinking, of marrying and giving in marriage, of home and family will be disrupted. The economic life of what was then an agrarian society will be disrupted, farming and milling and its workforce. And with that, the security of uncontested property ownership will prove ineffective. People hiding behind locked doors, not to mention these days behind borders and walls. God in Christ is staging a world historical break-in, and we're being put on notice. Yet it's not a break-in that has to be read in terms of violence and disaster. Our Isaiah reading today talks about God's coming as good news of peace, in the old words, with swords beaten into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks. Reading this, I was reminded of a Catholic church I visited outside Vienna, where the baptismal font had been made out of a great World War II artillery shell. I hope that all those who gathered around that former explosive weapon for baptisms felt a little frisson of risk at the prospect of lives being given over to Jesus Christ, his mission of disruption and liberation. Likewise, today's psalm blends together the judgment theme with the peace theme, the peace of Jerusalem, of God at home with God's people, which is God's truest and most unsparing judgment on a violent world. God judges a violent world by bringing peace, with violent nations and violent people having to face the truth at last about how wrong and how deluded they were, deeply wailing, as Wesley's Advent hymn puts it, deeply wailing as they see through Messiah, with their folly exposed for all to see, and with God's different agenda for humanity revealed. This is an apocalypse indeed, but one that we see most clearly in that unlikely stable at Bethlehem, and under a silent sky on Good Friday, until its dramatic revealing in God's great apocalypse of peace over violence and death that Easter Sunday brings. Now, this break-in from God, this disruption and liberation in Jesus Christ, means conversion. Initial conversion for some, and ongoing conversion for all of us. And this, of course, is the business of word and sacrament, in shaping lives that are open and attentive to God. Today's Romans passage has a famous story of conversion attached to it, which we can read at the end of Book 8 in Augustine's Confessions, written 1,500 years ago. The spiritual ground had been well prepared for Augustine, who was at his wit's end in a personal crisis. But the break-in, the breakthrough of faith in Jesus Christ, had not yet come. Then he heard a sing-song voice of a child from a nearby house. Take it and read. Take it and read. Augustine was struck by how strange and unlikely this was. And I'll let him tell you what happened next after he heard that child's call, with its enormous consequences for the church and for the whole Western world. I stemmed my flood of tears and stood up, telling myself that this could only be a divine command to open my book of Scripture and read the first passage on which my eyes would fall. For I had heard the story of St. Anthony, and I remembered how he had happened to go into a church while the gospel was being read, and had taken it as a counsel addressed to himself when he heard the words, "Go home and sell all that belongs to you, give it to the poor, and so the treasure you have shall be in heaven, then come back and follow me." By this pronouncement, he, that is, St. Anthony, had at once been converted to you. So I hurried back to the place where Alypius was sitting. For when I stood up and moved away, I had put down the book containing Paul's epistles. I seized it and opened it, and in silence I read the first passage on which my eyes fell. Not in reveling and drunkenness, not in lust and wantonness, not in quarrels and rivalries. Rather, arm yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and spend no more thought on nature and nature's appetites. I had no wish to read more and no need to do so, for in an instant, as I came to the end of the sentence, it was as though the light of confidence flooded into my heart and the darkness of doubt was dispelled. You'll recognise the climactic verses of today's Paul reading as the ones that bring the breakthrough for Augustine. But you might have also noticed that Augustine was already looking to Scripture for guidance, and that his desires were already being drawn to those of the saints, as in the story of Antony's conversion. So, when Paul warns about gratifying the desires of the flesh, that is, all the typical desires of our human nature, Augustine was already having his desires shaped in a different direction. And so are we, gathered here among the communion of saints, in an atmosphere thick with Scripture, where the Eucharist serves to transform and reorient our desires week by week, Advent by Advent, year by year. This means nothing less than putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says, until at last we begin to think like him, to act like him, indeed to look like him, to make him present for others. Remember the poem by John Manley Hopkins, "Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in eyes, lovely in limbs not his, to the Father through men's faces." So friends, the Advent break-in of God in Christ is underway, bringing disruption and liberation. Disruption of a status quo that our world needs to be free of, and liberation from the imprisonment of sin, that is, from being trapped in the disordered desires of others while crowing about our freedom and originality. René Girard, I have heard of, was right on to all of this, along with the break-in that Jesus represents, which is no less than a different way of doing the world, of marriage and family, of economic relations, of what security means, of peace as God's judgment on a war-soaked human history, and with that, personal conversion, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the promise and challenge of baptism and Eucharist. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.